Okay, good chodesh. Today's daf is daf Zion. Our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month is Adam Ben Zev. I'm told there's a longer spiel, but I don't see it, so whatever it is, it should be so. Okay, we're picking up on Avav Amud Beis. We are quite a ways up, about 12 lines up. So we say as follows. We were talking about the fact, Lishnach, you know, we had another version, way of presenting Rav Huna's halacha from yesterday. Amri lo Amr Rav Huna, they said that Rav Huna said as follows: Me'eis le'eis shebenida mitama bein lekodesh bein letruma. So we've been talking about for a while this question of, in Nida we have this halacha, we have this concept of going back 24 hours, that if a woman sees dam, we assume that she could have been tame for 24 hours. And we wanted to figure out yesterday to what exactly does that apply, and Rav Huna said it applied to kodesh but not to truma. And we went through a series of questions on Rav Huna's opinion. Today, we're bringing a different lashon that said that Rav Huna's halacha said that it's metama both for kodesh and for truma. So that if someone unearths that, when we're concerned that a woman who sees dam and nida that she's tamei me'eis le'eis, it's talking about if she were to have touched kodesh or truma in the interim. So ask the Gemara, how do we know this halacha? How would Rav Huna know that it applies both to kodesh and truma? We say, midelokatani lagabe milos. Now we should know what this means, because yesterday we asked this as a question on Rav Huna, because we have a Mishnah, I believe in Chagiga, which describes the elements that kodesh has over truma. And when yesterday Rav Huna was distinguishing between kodesh and truma, so we said that that the fact that it's not listed there was a question to him, because if the halacha of that a woman is tamei me'eis le'eis applies only to a kodesh and not to truma, should have been listed as one of the distinctions. So we answered over there that drora de tuma, the idea that the cases over there in Chagiga are dealing where we actually had a concern over something being tamei versus here where it was a general siyug. So yesterday it was a question, today it's going to be the proof. We're going to say from the fact that now that we're trying to say that Rav Huna does not distinguish between kodesh and truma, we'll say from the proof to that is the fact that the Mishnah, which lists distinctions between kodesh and truma, does not list this, supports Rav Huna's notion that the halacha of me'eis le'eis applies both to kodesh and to truma. Okay, so what was yesterday a question, today is a support. Amar le'Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman asks as follows, We brought a brisa that said lekodesh avolo letruma. So this is interesting, because we didn't have this brisa yesterday. Because if we would have had this brisa yesterday, or not, we didn't have it yesterday. But what we were discussing yesterday, they didn't have it, because obviously this is a brisa that seems to directly support what Rav Huna said yesterday, which is that it only applies to kodesh and not to truma, which seems to be what the brisa says explicitly. So therefore today, when they were having this subsequent discussion, or according to the second lashon, they had it was a question, because we have a brisa that says it's only for kodesh, not for truma, and we're in the middle of saying that Rav Huna says it's applicable both to kodesh and to truma. So how are we going to explain this brisa? So kibli minei Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. So Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak accepted this question, so to speak. He saw it as a good question, and he said, therefore, how am I going to explain this brisa that says it applies to kodesh but not to truma? He says as follows, Bechulin shenasa ataris kodesh, velo bechulin shenasa ataris truma. That this brisa is talking about chulin that is nasa ataris truma. So let me explain what's going on here. So we've had this idea a number of times that there were people who used to maintain, even when they were eating chulin, they would maintain a standard of kodesh or a standard of truma. So we're going to say as follows, that the way Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak is going to explain, because in other words, he needs to explain how come Rav Huna holds that it applies both to truma and kodesh, but the brisa seems to say it applies to kodesh and not to truma. So he's essentially explaining that there's four things we're dealing with here. We're dealing with actual kodesh, we're dealing with actual truma, we're dealing with chulin shenasa al taharas hakodesh, and chulin shenasa al taharas hatruma. And so we're going to explain as follows, that the way he's going to understand, three out of those four are, the halacha of me'eis le'eis will apply. So he's going to say that when Rav Huna says that the halacha me'eis le'eis applies both to kodesh and to truma, is talking about actual kodesh and actual truma. And when we have a brisa that distinguishes and says yes to kodesh and no to truma, it's saying when someone keeps chulin at the level of kodesh, So then that is, me'es leis is going to be a problem for that. But if someone is just keeping their chulin at the level of truma, then the me'es leis tuma of a nida that we've been talking about would not be applicable. So now we've explained, Rav Huna is talking about actual truma and kodesh, and the brisa that seems to distinguish was saying that it applies to chulin shenasu al taras kodesh, but not chulin shenasu al taras truma. Okay, so we've now completed that. We're going to go through a long piece between here and the Mishnah, which is eventually going to ask a question from this halacha of Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, and we're going to answer it. So really, at this point, we've settled on, according to this lashon of Rav Huna, actual truma, actual kodesh, and truma shenasa taras kodesh are all applicable to the me'es le'es of a isha nida, and the chulin shenasa taras truma is not. Okay, so now we're going to go through this long thing. At which point, Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak's halacha will come into play. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hasan, we learned in a mission over there. Nolad lo suffik tuma ad shelo gilgala tase betuma. So what we're talking about here is the halachas of challah. For all intents and purposes, challah is one of the matnas kuhuna, is one of the gifts that's given to the kohen. So someone, when they were making bread, they would take off a piece of the bread and give it to the kohen. For our purposes, challah and truma, both being matnas kuhuna, are basically interchangeable. If someone were to take if you have a loaf of bread, it's considered tevel until you take off the challah, just like truma, etc. So says the Mishnah that if a woman was handling what is to become dough, and there came some kind of suffik tuma. We're going to analyze in a minute what kind of suffik tuma came up, but some doubt about tuma came up, and we said as follows, that if she has not yet been megalgal, machlokis and Rishonim, what exactly gilgal means, but let's just say mixed. If it hasn't been mixed fully, then the idea is tasa betuma, that you don't have to watch out for its tuma at all, and in fact, you can, as Rashi points out, you can even be metama be a dime, you can make it tame. So now, and the basic idea is going to be, because at this point it is totally chulin, and chulin you're allowed to make it tame. Now, there's a general halach which Rashi essentially addresses, which is that you cannot make chulin bread tame, because you're basically taking it away from the kohen, because then the kohen's going to get useless challah. You're still going to give him the challah, but he has going to have to burn it. So you can't do it. But Rashi points out, in this case, it's already a safek tumah. So he's not going to be able to eat it anyway, and it's totally chulin, so therefore you can deal with it in tuma, and as long as it's in this unmixed state, you can even be metameit, be a dayim, because it's already a suffik tuma. Misha gilgala, however, once you mix the dough, and it actually becomes dough, so then tasa betara, that you have to maintain it in tahara. Now, you might ask, why is that? Because at the end of the day, it's already has some kind of suffik tuma put in it. So Rashi explains that the Torah basically says banina sati lechas mishmeres truma sai, which is a plural, two trumas. So we understand Rashi brings from the Gemara in Bechoros that you both have to watch out for the tahara of Tahar dough, and also dough that's tolen, dough that's in a suffix state. So therefore, what we're basically, the halacha we're saying is as follows. Before dough is mixed, you don't have to watch it at all because it hasn't become relevant to the halachas of challah. But once it's mixed, you have to maintain it in its status of tahara, even if there's been some doubt about its tahar status. So we say as follows, Achla gilgla tase betuma. So we're going to explain this. So until it's mixed fully, you can make it tameh, and you don't have to watch how you handle it. Why? Because chulin ninhu. It's absolutely chulin. There's nothing about it that's kodesh yet. It hasn't yet become dough to become relevant to the halachas of challah. Mutter ligrom tumah lechulin shebe'eretz Yisrael. And you're allowed to make chulin tameh in Eretz Yisrael. That's not a problem. So that's why before it's mixed, you can make it tameh. Continues the explanation. Misha gilgala, but once it gets mixed, tasa betara, because then you have to maintain it in its tahara state, because we're now going to introduce the principle that is going to be the subject of our discussion for the next little while. Chulin atvulin l'chala kechala damu, v'asr ligrom tuma l'chala. So he says as follows, that when you have chulin that has become dough, and therefore there's now a obligation to separate chala from it, so we're going to say that chulin all of it, even though there has not yet been designated from it any challah, and it doesn't yet have a halacha of challah, we're going to treat it just like challah. And so therefore, as we just finished saying, challah has a chiyuv to protect it from tumah, even when it has a suffix tumah attached to it. So therefore, not only is that true of challah, it's true of dough that has not yet had its challah taken from it. And that's why once the dough is mixed, even though there's a suffix tumah, you have to maintain it in tahara. You're not allowed to call it tumah tachala. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. And now we're going to say as follows. Tana, we learned in a braisa as follows. V'chalasa tluya. So the halacha would be that when you have to watch, we're at the top of Zayin Amun Aleph, that when you have to watch this dough that has not yet had challah taken out from it, the halacha is it's tuluya lo ochlim lo sarpim. Because if you remember, at the end of the day, we're dealing with a dough that somehow had a suffix of tumah come into it. We're going to see in a second what that is. So the halacha is you shouldn't eat it, but you shouldn't burn it. You can't eat it because at the end of the day, it's challah. On the other hand, you can't burn it because You can't eat it because it's halal has a halacha like truma, and the kohen, and you can't burn it either because you're not allowed to burn truma or chala. So this is a regular halacha of when you have a suffik tuma, that's lo ochlim lo sarfin. So now ask the Gemara, but eza suffik amru. So what suffik exactly are they talking about when the Brisa says that the halacha is lo ochlim lo sarfin? So Rashi explains what the Gemara is really asking is, what's your point? What's your chiddush? Obviously, the halacha anytime you have a suffik of tumah is you don't burn it, you don't eat it. So what is the Brisa coming to explicate? So the Gemara says b'suffik chala. It wanted to teach you this halacha because we're talking about suffik chala. Ask the Gemara, my suffik chala, what does that mean, suffik chala? So what we're going to answer, I'll just tell it to you outside, and then we'll see it inside. What we're going to answer is that there are certain halachas that are unique to chala. That chazal, unique to chala, to truma, that chazal were misakin certain forms of tumah that don't apply at all to chulin, were never promulgated for purposes of chulin, and were only put out there for purposes of chala. And that's the particular suffik tumah that we're going to talk about. We'll see it inside, and then we'll go back and explain it. Abaye of Rava Dami Tavayu. Abaye and Rava said, both of them said as follows, Shelo tomer behochacho sheninu kimo shnei shvilin, the hasam chulin greida nami mitamu. So he says as follows, we're not talking about halachas are like proven cases, but they're actually, it sounds like an oxymoron, but proven cases of doubt. Meaning cases where there's very clearly a doubt. What would be an example? The Gemara says, like Shnei Shvilin. Shnei Shvilin would be as follows, that you had two paths. One you knew had tumah and one didn't have tumah. You had two people who came. One who went on the tummy path, one who went on the non-tummy path, and then you now have a question that these two people touched the same thing or something different, but the point is you basically have a suffix where you know that there is some tumah here, and you need to figure out, what's the halacha where you have a even chance that it is tummy or tahar. So that's a regular case of tumah. So he says, that we're not talking about. Why? Because there the halacha would be that any time you have an absolute suffix of tumah, so we know already that would be suffix tumah, and the halacha would be that you don't eat it and you don't burn it. So that's not the chiddush of the braisa, which is telling us this halacha. Ela ben nishan. It would be an example of a case like nishan. Nishan is leaning, which relates to the tumah of a zav and a zava. We've talked about this many times, that there's a halacha of heset, that's unique, that a zav and a zava, if they were to move something or be moved by something, we'll see in a minute the different cases, the halacha then is that is tumas hasit, and it would get the tumah of a zav or a zava. But we're going to learn that there's a variation on this case that is unique to truma and to challah and would not apply at all to truma, at all to chulin, which is why the braisa was coming to tell us this special halacha. So what would be the case of nishan desnan? Because we've learned as follows: zav v'tahar shahaya parkin minachamar otanin. So we say as follows that you have a zav who's obviously tame, you have a tar person, and they are loading or unloading a donkey, and so they're jointly carrying something. So we say as follows: bizman shemasan kaved tame. That if they're carrying off or onto this donkey something that is very heavy. So the concern would be as follows, that when they put all their power into holding this heavy thing, so what could happen? Essentially, one party could be leaning, so to speak, on the other party by like shifting their weight or whatever it is. When they're trying to carry something heavy, they could end up leaning on each other. And so therefore, that's going to be a problem that we're going to say that that is hesed, because you're causing that maybe while you're leaning, maybe leaning itself is a problem, or while you're leaning, it causes a movement of the other person. So we're going to say that that is a problem of becoming tame from the zav. However, masan kal, but if the load is light, so tahar, so then it's tahar, it's not a problem. There's nothing that makes the tame person tame, because at the end of the day, they're not leaning on each other, and they're not moving one another. And continues the mission of a kulan tahor in the beis hakneses utmein litruma. So we say, but what are we talking about here when we say that the person carrying the box, a heavy box with a zav, becomes tameh? Is talking about is talking about uniquely to truma. When it says kulan taharin lebeis haknesses, and it says that means that when he says the beis haknesses is another word for a chaver, someone who's careful about. So even though someone is careful and maintains by themselves standards of tahara, nonetheless, even if he carries his box with the zav, he's still tahar, because this is not, Rashi explains, first of all, this is not really leaning of the sense that was traditionally meant by zav. And second of all, you have a doubt, even if this kind of leaning was a problem, who said they actually leaned on each other? We're just concerned if they carry something heavy. So therefore, we're not worried about a regular person, even if he maintains himself like a chaver with standards of tahara. But where we are concerned about is by truma. So we're going to say that this halacha, that we're worried about people who might lean on each other when they're carrying a heavy load, is unique to truma. And therefore, we're going to wrap up everything we talked about here. V'chulin atvulin l'chalak echaladamu. So that was the chiddush of our brisa. We brought a mishnah, and the brisa explained that we apply a halacha of safek tuma was unique to the case of a tuma, or I should say unique to the case, was included a case of tuma that was unique to truma. So like, for example, this halacha of leaning on each other when you're carrying a heavy thing is a halacha that applies only to truma. And so the chiddush of the brisa is that if the suffix tuma that we're talking about, when we talk about the fact that you need to, that you need to treat it betara, and you need to watch it, and then the brisa said that your tola, you don't eat it and you don't burn it, was all talking about this kind of special halacha of truma. Why did the brisa need to come tell us that? Because we might have thought when you're dealing with this extra special form of tuma that relates only to truma, not to anything else, so you would say maybe when you have a suffix of that tuma, you would say no, then that suffix tuma, you wouldn't worry about it and you consider it tahar. So comes the brisa to explain that this halacha in the Mishnah applies even if it's a suffix of tuma that is a special and heightened form of tuma that applies only to truma, that even in a suffix case, you would treat that like tuma. Okay, so we've now explained the Mishnah and the brisa that explicated it. So now we're gonna continue analyzing this, and ultimately we're gonna get back to the halacha of Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. So says the Gemara, V'hatanya, I'm gonna ask a question on this. That this idea that if you have bread, dough, that has not yet had challah separated from it, we treat the entire dough as if it's like challah. So what's the question? Because we learned as follows in a brisa. Isha shehit tevulas yom, losha se'isa v'kotza heimena chalasa. Okay, so 1 second. So let's just, a tful or tvulas yom, as we've dealt with umpteen times, is someone who was tameh. They were tovel in the mikvah during the day. They have to wait for Harav Shemesh. So the halacha is that until they have, that once they tovel, they can maiser sheni. Until nighttime, they cannot have truma. So she's someone who's not allowed to touch truma. So now we're going to deal with the following issue. You have a woman who's a tfulas yom, so she's tame as relates to issues of truma, and therefore also as relates to issues of challah, and she wants to make bread. So how do you do this in a way that she's not going to make the challah into something that's tame? So says the brisa, isha tfulas yom, losha se isha, she can knead the dough, the kotza himena chalasa, and she can break off a piece of the dough. She does not designate it yet as challah, ultimately it's going to become challah, but she takes off a piece of dough and puts it aside, umanichta bechvisa oba anchusa, and she puts it on. Rashi says these are wooden things that don't have a base kibbol. He says, "Hen kelim shein lehem beis kibbol could go nesarim like boards ve'en makablon tuma." So you put this little piece on a board of some sort that is not makablon tuma. Umakefes, you bring it close. Rashi explains because the halacha is at least ideally that when you're separating challah or truma, you should bring it all together. So what she does is she takes the mound of dough and then separately brings that thing that's on the board next to it so that they're near each other, and she's mafresh challah at that point, and she designates the piece that's on the board that should be the challah, and now she no longer touches it. V'kari l'shem, she called the name on it, and she called it truma, mipnei shehu shlishi, v'shlishi tar b'chulin. So we say as follows, because at the end of the day, when a woman is a tfulas yom, she has the din of a sheni latuma. Now we know a sheni latuma can only affect, it cannot pass its tuma on to chulin, it can only pass its tuma on to truma or kodesh. So therefore, at the time she was handling the dough, it was chulin, right? So therefore, her tuma of a tfulas yom has no effect on the dough, and that's why she's able to separate this piece, and then once she separates it, she designates that as challah, she no longer touches it, because now it's designated as challah, and if she were to touch it, she would make it tameh, because a sheni, that which she is, would make a truma into a shlishi. So now, that's the braisa. Ask the Gemara, v'yam rechulam tfulin l'challah k'challah damu, hatamisinu. So ask the Gemara, wait a second, but you told us a halacha that if there is a mound of dough that has not yet had challah separated from it, it has the halacha of challah, the entire mound. So then the question is, what did you accomplish with this whole setup with the woman? At the end of the day, when she was touching the dough, before she separated the piece, if we treat the entire dough as if it's truma, so then the entire dough should become tummy, because she's a sheni, and a sheni that touches truma makes it all tummy. So this whole thing seems to be would have no purpose. So it raises a question, is it true what you said, that when you have a mound of dough that has not had challah separated from it, we treat the entire thing like challah? Amar Abaya. So Abaya says, no, I'm going to make a distinction. Kol shevadai metame chulin gazra sveiko, mishum chulin, I'm sorry. So he says, anything that is, that when you're dealing with a kind of tumah if it wasn't a doubt, would become, or wasn't a weird case of it, would become tameh. For example, what would be a good example of this? The halacha of a zav. A zav, if a zav were to touch dough, the zav would make that would make that tameh. So therefore, when you have something that, if it was a vadai case, for example, zav, that would be metameh chulin. So the gazra sveiko, mishum chulin natfulin lechala. So he says that in that case, we would, if we had a doubt, we would nonetheless treat the entire dough like its challah, and therefore it would become tameh. V'hai tful yom, but this woman is a tful yom, kiven de lamatame vadai chulin, lamatame vadai chulin, lo gazro lo mishum chulin at tfulin l'chala. So says the Gemara as follows, that we're gonna, Abai says the distinction is as follows. You're asking me from a case of that if it's true that challah that is not separated makes the entire mound into challah, so then why was this woman able to knead the dough and separate the piece, and we say it doesn't make the challah puzzle? We're saying is because that's talking about a case where even if if a tful yom is to touch challah, meaning when it's chulin, it has no effect. And therefore, we don't apply this halacha that when it has a little bit of challah in it, you look at the entire thing as being challah. In other words, so in the case of tful yom, we don't apply that rule that the small amount of challah makes the entire thing challah. But if you're talking about a tumah that is the kind of tumah that would affect even something that's chulin, for example, zav, which is the case we had before, so then that's going to be the case where, and we said before, when it was a suffix zav, We said before that that's the kind of suffix that applies only to truma. So we're going to say when we're dealing with the category of truma like zav, which could affect chulin, so then we do apply this extra rule that says that when you have a little bit of challah in a broader mound, it makes the entire mound into challah. Okay, so we introduced a concept that said, if you have a little bit of challah and you haven't separated challah from the dough, we treat the entire dough like it's challah. Okay, and now Abaye has clarified, when is that true? That's only true by forms of tumah that are in a category that would make chulin tameh, so it doesn't apply by tvul yom. Ask the Gemara, v'hameh eis le'eis, and we're all getting up to this so we could talk about Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak. So he says as follows, v'hameh eis le'eis shebenida, devadai metameh chulin, v'lagazur asfeko, mishum chulin atvulin l'chala. So he says, wait a second, you just told me that if you're dealing with a form of tumah that would make even chulin tameh, then you apply this rule that a little bit of the challah is like the entire challah, but that's not true. Why? Because we have this halacha that we've been learning about, a me'es le'es by nida. Now, nida, if a nida were to touch a piece of dough that's chulin, that dough would become tameh. So, for example, someone who eats while taras kodesh wouldn't be able to touch it or eat it, and you wouldn't be able to make that into kodesh because it would be tameh, right? So, therefore, we see that nida is a kind of halacha that applies even to chulin, and yet we see, we're going to see in a second how we see that you don't apply this rule that a little bit of, if the little bit of the challah is in the broader mound, the entire thing is treated like challah. So where do we see that? And so that would be a problem. If that's true, that the me'es le'es by nida applies, and we do not apply this rule of some of the challah, some challah in there makes the entire thing into challah, would destroy Abaye's teretz. So where do we see this idea that it does not do it? Damar Mar, because we learned Kibla Munei Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak, that this is the halacha that we started with before in the beginning of today, that Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak accepted the challenge in that case from Rav Nachman, and he established a rule, B'chulin Shenasa Ataris HaKodesh, V'lo B'chulin Shenasa Ataris Truma. And he said as follows, that when does the halacha of me'es le'es, that we go back 24 hours for a nida, applies only by taras hakodesh, but not by taras truma. So we said, actual truma, actual kodesh, and chulin shenasa taras hakodesh, all of those me'es le'es applies, but we said the me'es le'es of nida does not apply by a case where chulin shenasa taras truma. So now, in order to understand the Gemara's question, the Gemara is making an assumption here, which Rashi points out, that the Gemara thinks that when you say, in other words, the idea would be as follows, that just like chulin es nasu acharis truma, that when we have this, this mound of dough that needs to have challah taken out from it, there is no challah taken out from it yet. So what is it when you have this challah that's nashu al taras ha-truma? Just means that you're being careful to keep it tar so that it can become like truma. So therefore, what we're going to say is as follows, that the case that we were talking about till now, where you have a big mound of dough, a little bit of it needs to have challah separated, we treat the entire thing like challah, is no different than chulin shenasu al taras truma. So here's the problem. If we said, like Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, that chulin shenasa al taras truma, the halachas of me'es le'es does not apply, right? So therefore, we now have a problem, because Abaye was explaining the distinction, saying that when we're dealing with tumas that can affect chulin, we do apply this rule that a little bit makes the entire mound into truma, into challah. But where so then the question is, nida, which is clearly something that by a case of, which is clearly something that in a case of chulin would make it tameh, so the halacha should be that you apply this halacha of that you would apply this halacha that you look at the entire thing like it's one, and yet we see that Rav Shmuel by Rav Yitzchak says that chulin shenasa ataris truma does not apply me'es le'es of nida. So this is a question. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a fair assumption. You're assuming that the case we're dealing with, where you have a big mound of dough, some of which needs challah taken out from it, is the same as chulin shenasa atrumas truma, ataris truma. He says that's not true. He says, hasam lo psicha buhu truma, hacha psicha buhu truma. There's a big distinction between those cases. When you have chulin shenasu ataris atruma, all that's happening is the person has accepted upon himself an extra stringency that says, I'm going to be careful to eat this dough only when it's in its status of tahar for truma. So he says, that's very different than a case where you have a broader mound of dough, and some of it is going to become challah, because essentially what are you dealing with? You're dealing with a case where in this mound is actual challah. So we're going to extend the whole thing. So therefore, we're going to say as follows, that in a case where you have a mound of dough, some of which is challah, we will apply this halacha, that little bit makes the entire thing into truma. We are not going to apply that by truma, when you have chulin shenaso ataras truma, because all that is a stringency. So what we're leaving off with is as follows. We went through this entire thing in order to ask a question from Shmuel Bar of Yitzhak, because we thought the halacha of truma, of dough, before it, in other words, we brought a halacha, but before you mix it, after you mix it, and that this idea that you treat the entire mound like a tevel for challah, even when it only has a little bit of challah in it, and we said that that applies any case where the tuma is the kind that could affect chulin. So we said, but me'es le'es lenida doesn't apply because you see v'shmuel b'yitzchak's halacha. So the Gemara says, no, you're mixing two different things. V'shmuel b'yitzchak's halacha was specific to a case where you're just preparing the food at a level of tahara for truma, but there's no actual truma in it, versus the case we were talking about where you have a big mound of dough, a little piece of that is going to be challah, and therefore we have to treat the entire mound like it's challah. That's the first teretz. The Gemara says, v'bayzema, hanach me'es le'es d'rabanan. He says, don't ask me questions about me'es le'es, because the whole me'es le'es is a d'rabanan. Now you might ask me, wait a second, the case of the Zav was also a d'rabanan d'uka tuma. So the idea would be, the Rishonim say different things, but yesterday we dealt with this idea, and I mentioned it at the beginning, drara d'tuma, we said that, for example, that we didn't list me'es le'es in the cases that were distinct between Kodesh and Truma, is because the whole concept of me'es le'es is just a siyag. It's just to make people take nida seriously. It's not even a concern about Tuma. So we're going to say that this is a lesser Durabanan. Or if you take a look at Tosfos at the bottom, Hanach me'es le'es Durabanan, he says, Afagav d'neshen nami Durabanan. So he says, even though that the case of leaning is also Durabanan, Tumas me'es le'es kiel tfe. But nonetheless, me'es le'es is an even more kal case of Tuma, she'ein shum suffik Tuma b'shasha sekes b'taras. Because he explains as follows, that when you have people carrying a box together and they might be leaning on each other, there's a question right now, we're faced with something happening, and is it tummy or is it not tummy? That's a more significant level than me'es le'es, which is something where she finds blood and we're trying to figure out 8 hours ago when she touched taharas, is that a problem? So we're going to say that's a lesser level of tumah, and therefore we don't have to worry about it. Says the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar says, Arba Nashim Dayan Shaitan. So we've talked about that, we've mentioned this Mishnah a few times before. So it says as follows, that we talk about Dayan Shaitan means that a woman sees blood. We assume that right now she became tameh, it was not there before, and if she touched Taharas before, it's not a problem. So which are the ones that Rabbi Elazar says that this applies? Now obviously we dealt with the first Mishnah, that others who say it applies to all women, but here we're talking about Rabbi Elazar's opinion. He says there's four women for whom we say that. Basula. A basula in this case means, the Mishnah is going to explain each of these cases, but it means a woman who's never seen dam. She's a young girl. She has not yet menstruated. Muberes, a woman who is pregnant, and therefore when people become pregnant, they generally don't bleed anymore. Menika, a woman who's nursing, also doesn't bleed. Zakena, a woman who's already post a point in her life when she is seeing dam. So all of these people are people that are bechazaka musuleket damim, the idea that they are not people who are expecting them to bleed. So therefore, we said halachas, if we see blood, we don't assume it's been there a long time, and we assume this is a strange circumstance, and so generally speaking, we'll apply the chazakah to say that they're tar, and we assume that when they become tummy, it's only right now. I'm Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said to him, to Rabbi Elazar, Ani lo shemati ela basula. You said four cases, I've only heard one of them. I only heard a young girl who has not yet menstruated. So it continues, the mission of halacha Rabbi Elazar. But the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, and it's four, it's not one. And we'll see in a minute an interesting conversation between them. Okay, says the Mishnah wants to clarify these things it said. Ezo hi basula, what are we talking about when we say a basula? Kol shelo ra'asa dam miyamel, afal pi shenesua. Even though she might have gotten married, but she's never seen blood before, that's what we're talking about in a basula. Muberes, what does it mean when I say a pregnant woman who's considered to be mesulekas dam and that she's no longer bleeds, is talking mi sheyodea, mi sheyivada ubra, that once it's clear that she's pregnant. So generally speaking, is considered 3 months. 3 months. Menika, a woman who's nursing, atche tigmol's bina, until she weans her son. Now, what does that mean? Interesting, machlok is coming right up. Nasna bina lemeniko gumalatu omeis. What happens if she gives her child to a different woman to nurse her child? So therefore, she's no longer really nursing, or she chose to so nurse. Generally speaking, the period of menika is 24 months, 2 years. So in this case, she weaned him early. After 6 months, she said, enough of you, you know, she's not nursing anymore, or the child died. So the question is she considered a musulekas damim, someone who's a menika, a nurser or not? Reb Meir Omer says, metama me'es la'es. He says, sorry, she loses her status as a menekas because she's not nursing at this point, either because she weaned him, because the child died, she gave it to someone else. It's not, you don't get the benefit of this. Halacha v'chacham Rambam says, daya shaita. Nonetheless, she's considered a muberis for purposes of giving her the benefit of not having to go back to, 24 hours. It continues the mission. Ezeu zakena. What does it mean, an older woman, like a postmenopausal woman? We say kosha avra la shalosh onos samach leziknaso. That who's past 3 onos are generally considered a 12-hour period. But we'll see. That's not what it refers to here. We'll see in the Gemara what exactly that means. That close to her ziknos, she had 3 onos. Rabbi Elazar says koli sheshavra la shalosh onos daya shaito. Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that any woman who doesn't see blood 3 times when she was expecting to see it, that's considered she has a halacha of daya shaita. It doesn't have to be specifically that case of a zakena, of an older woman. Rabbi Yossi Amar, Rabbi Yossi says mu'uberes umenika shavar aleha shalosh onos daya shaita. Rabbi Yossi says no, it's only a mu'uberes and a minekes who get this halacha that if it passes 3 onos, that it's dayan shaitan, but he would not agree by a case of a besula. I'm sorry? No, by a zakena he would agree also, because that's the regular case, and he's saying that by a zakena you need shalosh onos, and so too by a menekes and a muberes, but a besula would not work that way. So when do we say, for all of these women, all 4 of these women that we're talking about, what does it mean that we give them a halacha of dayashaita? They get a one shot at this. Beria Rishona, the first time they see Alva Bishnia, Mitama Me'es Leis. He says, okay, you get one shot. So let's say a woman is nursing. So she has an assumed status that she's no longer menstruating. So if after 9 months she sees blood, so we say, okay, you don't have to go Me'es Leis. But at this point, you're already someone who's clearly moved out of your status of a menekes, so therefore, next time it happens, we're not going to give you the benefit of dayashaita, and we're going to say it's me'es leis. V'imra sar yishona me'ones hafashniya dayashaita. We say, but when does that apply? That when any of these 4 women see dam, they lose their status of being able to rely on dayashaita, not me'es leis, is only if they bled out of the blue. But if something happened to the woman, that she jumped, she fell, she got scared, all these things that in halacha we talk about, things that you could be tola, there's another reason why she bled, so then we say she still maintains her status that she gets to have the benefit of daya shaita, and she doesn't need to do me'es leis even the second time, because we say the first time she saw is not because it changed her status as relates to bleeding, but only because something happened. Tanya, Amar lo Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua, atola shemata, ani shemata. So Rabbi Elazar did not like Rabbi Yeshua's response. Rabbi Elazar says the halacha dayashaita applies to 4 women. Rabbi Yeshua says I only heard 1 of them. So he says I don't care. He says you heard 1. I heard 4. Atolo shemata lachas vani shemata harbe. I heard many. So what kind of answer is this that I just didn't hear it? So therefore what? So he says ain omer lemisha lo ra sachodesh yavo v'yayid elo lemisha ro. I'm sorry. Elo lemisha ro. So he says, you don't tell people to come testify that I didn't see the new moon come out. You tell the ones who saw the new moon to come out. He says, I heard it from my Rebbe. And so the fact that you didn't hear it, who cares? So so we say, Kol Yom Avshar Rabbi Elazar, Hayosin Rabbi Yeshua. So nonetheless, the whole time Rabbi Elazar was living, they didn't listen to him. They didn't apply it to 4 women. They only applied it to, like, Rabbi Yeshua's halacha to Besula alone. La'achar petirasa shor Rabbi Elazar, but after Rabbi Elazar died, then hichzir Rabbi Yeshua sadavad liyosha. Then Rabbi Yeshua, who was Rabbi Elazar's disputant, put it back and said, now we're going to pass him like Rabbi Elazar. So what's going on here? So we say, Rabbi Elazar v'chayav my time alo. So wait, one second, why didn't we do Rabbi Elazar his whole life? If he was right, if Rabbi Yeshua agreed to him, so then you should have switched halacha. So Gemara says, mishum de Rabbi Elazar shamutihu. So he says as follows, that here's the problem. The Rabbi Elazar was in Cherem. Why? Or at a minimum, we weren't paskening like him. This relates to the story of Taner Shalachnoi, where they had an argument, and he wanted to bring Rias from various miracles, and they said, Lo Bashamayim, he wouldn't accept the view of the majority of Chachamim. So they said, we're not paskening like you. So what happened here? In this case, he was right. So they would have paskin like him, but they were worried, if we paskin like him in this case, so then maybe people will paskin like him in other cases. And what's the problem with that? But since Rabbi Elazar was such a big Talmud Chacham, that if people were acting like him in other cases, where we penalized him by not paskining like him, in because of his kavod, we wouldn't tell them not to do it, because that's a slight on Rabbi Elazar's kavod, that we're going around telling people don't act in accordance with his halachas. So therefore, so long as he was living, even though he was right in this instance, we weren't willing to paskin like him. But when he died, the pitirasa Rabbi Elazar, the matzino machinam behu, and then we would be allowed to tell someone, wait a second, we paskin like Rabbi Elazar in this case, but not others, and it wouldn't be a pchis in his kavod, then hichzer adavad liyosho, you put it back to the way it was before. Amr Rabbi Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda Shavu name Shmuel, halacha Rabbi Elazar ba'arba, that there's four cases where the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, where he argues with Rabbi Yeshua, and we're gonna walk through the four, as many of them as we can. Chadda da Amran. The first one is the one that we said. That one was easy. The four women versus the one woman. Okay, v'idach, next. Hamakasha, kama tishpe, v'tehei zava me'eis le'eis, what's this talking about? So we're going to see this later on in Nida. So it's talking about, we know that if a woman is in her period when she is in her 11-day Zivus period, if she sees 3 days in a row, she becomes a Zava Gedola. What happens if a woman is in labor and she sees blood and she's going through a difficult labor for 4 days, right? And then she gives birth to a baby. We say she's not a Zava Gedola because the reason she saw blood is because she was delivering, not because she was a zava. But the question we're dealing with is as follows: what happens if a woman has a very tough pregnancy, she's bleeding, and then there's a period of time that she stops bleeding, and then she has the baby? Do we still connect that bleeding to her delivery, or do we say no, that was zava gedola, and then she subsequently delivered the baby? So we say, how long do you wait, and say that she becomes a zava? So we say, Rabbi Elazar says me'eis le'eis, that if 24 hours passes that she doesn't see dam, and then she gives birth, we separate the birth from the prior appearances of dam, and we say that she's a zava gedola. The consequences of which Rashi points out, both in terms of waiting extra 7 days and also for bringing karbanas. Okay, and continues the brayso of halacha kedvar. The halacha is like his words. We're going to see later on. Rabbi Akiva argues and applies a slightly more permissive standard, which could end up being more than 24 hours. But we say the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar. Okay, v'idach, the third one. Hazava shabbat guasam yom rishon umatzoh tahar yom shvi What is this case? This is relevant also not just to Zav and Zava, but by Nida nowadays when we are Shomer Shivanikiyim, that a Nida has to wait 7 days. What happens if she does her Hefsek Tyra? So she checks on the first day to make sure that the blood stopped, and she checks on the seventh day before she goes to the mikvah, but she's supposed to check every single day and she didn't. What's the halacha? Rabbi Elazar Amar, Rabbi Elazar says, Harayilu Becheskas Tyra. We assume that the middle days were also tahar, that because she didn't, there was no blood on the bedika the first day and the seventh day, we assume that the middle 5 days also had no blood. Rabbi Yeshua says, Ein lahem el yom rishon yom shvi bovad. He says a weird idea, that you count, you give her 2 days worth of counting, but you don't give her the middle 5 days. And so therefore you have to count another 5 days. Which the Gemara itself is going to say is a little weird. Rabbi Akiva says, "Ein lahem el yom shvi bovad." Rabbi Akiva says, "No, look. At the end of the day, you might have bled in those 5 days. You're supposed to do bedika. If you didn't do the bedika, all you have is a seventh day. You need to do 6 more days." So, v'tanya, we learned this. Father, Rav Shimon, Rav Yossi, Amrim, that Rav Shimon, Rav Yossi said, "Nirayin divrei Rabbi Elazar, mi divrei Rabbi Yeshua." The Rabbi Elezer's view that the first and seventh is enough to assume that the middle five are good makes more sense to Rabbi Yeshua, because, okay, you assume the first and seventh were clean, so the middle five are also clean. But Rabbi Yeshua's makes no sense, because Rabbi Yeshua's saying you can't count the middle days because maybe she bled. But if you're worried that maybe she bled, then why are you counting the first day? You should only count the seventh day, because the bleeding would destroy and you have to start the Shiva Nikim again. So what's the point of the first days? Rabbi Akiva makes more sense than all of them, because he's saying, look, if you have any concerns about the middle days and she didn't count the way she was supposed to count, then you only give her the seventh day and she has to do six more days. Aval halacha Rabbi Elazar. The halacha follows Rabbi Elazar. So this is the third case where the halacha follows Rabbi Elazar. Yidach, and the other one, disnan, because we learned as follows. Achure kelim shenitmu v'mashkin. So the halacha is generally as follows. That mashkin that became tame from a rishon latuma. Let's say you had a sheretz touched a pitcher of oil, right? So the halacha would be as follows: that is now a rishon latuma, and a rishon latuma cannot be metame kalim. A rishon latuma can only be metame foods. But the halacha is that if this liquid touched the outside of a keli, the halacha is that keli, the outside of that keli, becomes tame. So this is a gezeirah derabbanan. There's no such deoraisa halacha like this. We've dealt with this concept before. So okay, so you have this case where the outside of the keli is tame. Rabbi Lezer says metame nes hamashkin main posan as ochlin. So he says this has a unique halacha that if there were to be liquids that were to touch the outside of this barrel, the liquids would become a rishon latuma and they're capable of making other things tame. But food, it would not even be a problem for truma. Any food that touches the outside of this barrel is still considered tahar. So we say metamen es hamashkin vafilu dechulin, that this is given the status of a rishon latuma at the barrel. If liquids touch it, and then the liquids would become a rishon, so therefore, even if you had chulin liquids, they would become a sheni latuma. And this is what I said before, that as relates to food touches the outside of the barrel, even for purposes of truma, wouldn't be tame. Rabbi Shua says metame is a mashkin, a poson is a ochlin. He says no, it is metame mashkin. It gives the mashkin the status of a rishon, and poson is a ochlin. It gives the food a status of a sheni. So machlok is between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elezer. I'm Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says mak of kavachomer. He says I'm going to tell you kavachomer as follows. Umatfu yom sheni metame mashke. Mashke chulin, posel ochle truma, achuri kelim shematame mashkin chulin, shematame mashke chulin, eno din sheposel ochle truma. So he says as follows, that we know the halacha is that a tful yom who touches, we said before, is like a sheni latuma, who touches liquids, of chulin, nothing happens to them. Nonetheless, if a tful yom were to touch truma food, that food would become tame. So he says, so then the outside of this keli, which is capable of making mashke, that's chulin, into tame, so therefore you see that this outside of this keli is more chamor than a tful yom, and a tful yom is able to make truma, so for sure, the outside of this keli should be able to affect true food to make that into truma, that's tame. So Rabbi Elazar would say back to Rabbi Shua, I don't like your kavachomer. Why? Achure kelim darabanan tul yom daraisa v'rabanan midaraisa lo yavdin kavachomer. So he says that doesn't make any sense, your kavachomer, because one is a halacha daraisa that a tul yom cannot make mashke can be matame food, but even though he can't be matame mashkin, that is a deraisa halacha, and you're asking me a kavachomer from a derabbanan. The rabbanan made a special rule that when the liquids touch the outside of this keli, that it makes the liquids into a rishon latuma. How could you compare those things? Why? Because according to deraisa, ain ochel matame keli, vein mashke matame keli. This whole thing that midaraisa, ochel can't be matame keli, because only avatuma can be matame keli, and mashkin can't be matame keli. Rabbanan hu degazer gzeira mishum mashkin dezav vezava. Why did the Chachamim make this whole gezeira about the barrel to make it tame when it's touched by liquids on the outside? Because mashkin da lulun kabel tuma, gazer bu rabbanan ochel da ina lulun kabel tuma, lo gazer bu rabbanan. So he says, midaraisa, this doesn't apply. Rabbanan were worried. Why did they make a special halacha by mashkin? Because liquids are much easier to to become tamei. Why? Because food, in order to become tamei, you need to have hechsher tuma. It needs to have one of the seven liquids touch it. It has to be with intent that you want it. Versus liquids are automatically stamped to become tamei. So therefore, liquids that could become tamei more quickly, and they were worried that you would mix it up with the liquids of a zav and a zava. So they made this special halacha that if the mashkin touched the outside of a barrel, they make the outside of the barrel tamei, not the inside. The reason they did it that way is to distinguish, to make sure that you knew that this was only a derabanan dikatuma. That's why it affects only the outside and not the inside. And therefore, they were gozer it. So the answer that Rabbi Elazar says back to Rabbi Yeshua, you can't ask me a kavachomer from a gezerah derabanan versus a halacha deraisa. The halacha deraisa applies, and the rabbanan made a special gezerah, but you can't make a kavachomer. So therefore, he argues. Now, just continues the gemara. Mashnah achuri kelim denaka mishum dekili. So he says, and what's the reason that you picked the outside of the keli? Because it's kal, it's not because we learned as follows: klisha nitmu me'achur of mamashkin, achur of tamei tocho. You know what? I think I'm late here, so we'll have to leave off here.